Peter chapter 1. The name of the message is Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read verses 16 to 21 this morning. For we have not followed commonly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now last week we looked at verse 19, where we saw that through this Bible, the whole book, the believer has a more sure word of prophecy. The book is authored by the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 21 proclaims this, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We also looked at how we who are the people of God, born again by the Holy Spirit and washed in the precious blood of Christ, are to take heed to the Word of God. We're to take heed to the Word of God and the warnings that are in it and the truths that are proclaimed in it. We are to take heed to them and we are to hold them close to us. Peter, James, and John had the blessed honor and the privilege of being eyewitnesses of the glorious transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. They witnessed the glorious change that came upon our blessed Redeemer. And it must have been spectacular. It must have been spectacular. There'd be something that they would never ever forget, beloved. Something that they would never ever forget. Right before their eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, was transfigured. And He was still in the body that the Father had prepared for Him. But light was emanating from Him, pure, from His pure, sinless body. And it must have just been absolutely amazing to see Him. To see Him in His glory. And His face did shine as the sun. And His remnant was white as the light. Now, we've all heard that story, but when we read that and when we hear it, it should just leave us in awe, because that's our Savior. That's our God. And those chosen apostles, they also saw Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord about what He would accomplish on Calvary. That's what they were talking about. They were talking about what the Lord would accomplish on Calvary's cross. The fact that He came to save His people from their sins. The fact that He would lay down His life for His sheep. And they also heard the voice of God Almighty speak these words from heaven. "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Hear ye Him. Hear Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the blessed Son of God. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah had disappeared and they only saw Jesus. He's the one we're to look to, beloved. The law and the prophets, which Moses and Elijah represented, they testify of Christ. They testify of Him. In this wonderful book, beloved, we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Bible. We have a better foundation. A more sure evidence of Christ in the Gospel than an eyewitness account of His glory. This book, again, is authored by the Holy Spirit of God. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Revelation given by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And as Peter said, we do well to take heed to what the Scriptures say. We do well to take heed to what the Scriptures say. Through this book, through this blessed book we have here, we learn who God really is. We learn who He really is. Not who we think He is, but who He really is. We learn of God's plan of salvation that we had no clue of until we heard the gospel with hearing ears and seeing eyes, which were given to us by the Lord. But through this blessed book, we learn about that. We learn about that. We learn about how God purposed and planned in eternity to save us. And we all say, me. But that's what the blessed book says, isn't it? That's what it says. God sent Christ to this world to save His people from their sins, and it was planned and purposed by God in eternity. And in through this book we see, beloved, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And oh, what joy that brings to the saved sinner's soul. All my righteousness is Christ. And by the command of God, through this blessed book, we see by the command of God that we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, by His command. Born again, blood-washed saints. And then we see in this blessed book that we're granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance before God. Those are given to us by God. And we learn, don't we, as we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that we could never ever accomplish these things. We can't save ourselves. We learn that through this blessed book too. That we can never save ourselves. We learn that it's God who saved us. And we rejoice, don't we? We rejoice in our great God. And God's people believe what the Scriptures say. We believe it. We believe what the Scriptures say. We believe that Christ died for His sheep. We believe in John 10:11, when the Lord said, I am the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. We believe that. We don't say He died for everyone because the Scriptures say He didn't. But the Scriptures say He died for His sheep, and we believe that. And that's what the Lord said. That's what the Lord said. That He came to save His people from their sins. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. God's born-again people believe that our Savior, through the offering of Himself, totally satisfied and perfected forever those for whom He died for. Because that's what the Scriptures proclaim. Now we know that we who are saved are sinners. We know that. We know that we're going to sin until we go home to be with the Lord. But beloved, we are saved by the perfect work of Christ. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. But this man, being Christ, after He had offered, note this, one sacrifice for sins. One. The Old Testament high priest, every year they had to offer sacrifices. Christ offers Himself up once. He's the great sacrifice. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. But this man, the God-man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and remember, He's sinless, so He's offering Himself up for the sins of His people, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. My. What did Paul write in Colossians? And ye are complete in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now we're still sinners, right? We still sin. We still struggle with sin. But when God looks upon us, beloved, He sees us in Christ. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful news. Wonderful news for God's people. And we believe what the Scriptures say. God's people believe, as the Scriptures proclaim, that Christ by Himself purged our sins. He did it. It was all His work. It was all His work. And we believe that Jesus was delivered for our offenses. It's our sins that put Him on the cross. It's our sins that He went to pay for. And then we also believe, like the Scripture says, that He was raised for our justification. To prove to us, to show us, that God was absolutely satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And that ties right in. That ties right in. When he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He's only pleased with Christ. God the Father's only pleased with Christ. And if you're in Christ, He's pleased with you. That's wonderful news. That's absolutely wonderful news. God's people believe that our Redeemer, by His own blood, entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And eternal means eternal. It's eternal redemption. Hebrews 9 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He obtained it. He did the work. He did all the work. We are just receivers of His grace and mercy, beloved. It's wonderful. He did it all. He obtained eternal redemption for His people. And God's people believe that. We believe what the Scriptures say. We believe what the Scriptures say. God's people believe that Christ has not only risen from the grave, but that He's now seated on the right hand of glory, right now, ruling and reigning. He's not waiting to reign. He's there right now. Right now. And we believe that. We believe that. God's people believe that God the Father has given Christ power over all flesh. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. God's people believe that God the Father has given Christ power over all flesh, and that He should give eternal life to those, to His sheep, to those who were given to Him by the Father. And you know what? He won't lose one of them. He won't lose one. Not one. That's comforting for God's people. That's comforting. Look at John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. "My sheep hear my voice." Doesn't say they might. It says, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them." Again, that's the word gnosko in the Greek for know. That's an intimate relationship. "And they follow me." It doesn't say, well, they'll follow me if they make a decision, does it? Or if they walk an aisle or pray a prayer. It doesn't say that. It says, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me." Or, "And I know them and they follow me." Now look at this. "And I give unto them." The one who has all power gives this to His sheep. "And I give unto them eternal life." Why? Because He obtained it, didn't He? Hebrews 9:12 says, "Having obtained eternal redemption for us." He obtained it. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, God, which gave them me, is greater than all." He's high above all. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." He just proclaimed His deity right there before them. Who He is. God's people have a more sure word of prophecy, it says in our Scriptures. And it's the Holy Bible, beloved. Authored by the Holy Spirit of God. We've been taught the truths which are in this blessed book by the very one who's authored it. We didn't come to our understanding of who Christ is or the Scriptures by our own reasoning. And we know that because for a lot of us, before we read the Bible, before the Lord saved us, I think I only read the Bible 2 or 3 times before the Lord saved me. And it wasn't the whole book, it was just pieces of it. And I had no understanding of what it was. I had no understanding. Now I read it and, my, Christ is everywhere. It's wonderful. So we've been taught the truths which are in this book. We who are God's blood-washed saints. And we know a few things now. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. We know that we pass from death unto life. We know that we were born dead in trespasses and sins. And we know now that we're spiritually alive, quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. We pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, 1 John 3:14. We know this. We can say with the apostle, I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, 2 Timothy 1:12. We know this, and we believe it. We believe it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. We know these things, and we believe them, and we trust in God who's revealed these things to us, these truths to us. And we rest in Him. Also, we who are the Lord's chosen, blood-bought children know that we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We know the sin we were in. We know the hopeless state that we were in. And we know that we've been delivered from darkness, the power of darkness. And we're taught by God the Holy Spirit that all the Old Testament prophets, all the Old Testament prophets wrote of Christ. We've been taught that by the Holy Spirit of God. And as we learn and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we see more and more that Christ and Christ alone has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. He's fulfilled them all concerning the Messiah, because He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's the sent one of God, beloved. He's God incarnate in the flesh, sent here by the Father to die on the cross. Born to die. Born to die on Calvary's cross. Now, beloved, you can't take one portion of Scripture, as Brother Henry Mahan brings forth, and let it stand alone. The Bible is a book, and it all fits together. It all fits together. Let's go back to our text. People often, this is what gets people in trouble too, is they take one verse out of context, and they build a whole doctrine around it. Or they build a whole movement around it. You can't do that. Let's read verses 19 to 21 again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see there in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No Scripture is of man's own opinion. It's a revelation from the mind of God. And therefore, we search the Scriptures not to prove what we think is right. We search the Scriptures not to prove what we think is right, but to find out what God says is right. That's the difference. We search the Scriptures to see what God says is right. And when we know that only... See, men will build up a whole movement, a whole doctrine around one verse. Church of Christ. They've taken a verse in Acts and built up a whole movement and say, you must be baptized to be saved. Well, we know baptism doesn't save from putting Scripture with Scripture. But we know Christ is the one who saves, not baptism. Baptism is just an... an outward confession of an inward conversion. And it has no saving power, but we do it out of obedience to the Lord. So no scripture can be interpreted in light of human wisdom, but only in light of other scriptures. And we know who the author of the scriptures is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And scripture must be interpreted in light of other scriptures. This is one book, Old and New Testament, beloved. This is a book authored by the Holy Spirit of God, both the Old Testament and the New. It has the same author. Written by one God and declaring one gospel. And declaring one Savior and one Redeemer. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles in the New Testament epistles constantly made reference to the Old Testament to prove that their doctrine, so that they knew that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. They always went to the Scriptures. And whenever you see them make reference to the Scriptures in the New Testament, they're talking about the Old Testament because they didn't have the New Testament then. Absolutely no one is to speculate or give their own personal opinions when they try to interpret the Holy Scriptures. Human wisdom, human reasoning and worldly wisdom cannot enter into the preaching and teaching of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must preach Christ and Him crucified, a perfect, complete work done by Christ and Christ alone, because that's what the Scriptures declare. That's what the Scriptures declare. A perfect work of redemption. The Word of God, beloved, must have the final say. Must. It must. We must compare Scripture with Scripture. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We must compare Scripture with Scripture. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. He's our teacher, beloved. He guides us into all truth. We know that. The very one who is the author of the Scriptures is the very one who reveals the Scriptures. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why the Lord said you must be born again. You must be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. To know Christ, to enter into glory, and to even know what the Scriptures say. Because the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So God's preachers set forth the truth. We set forth the truth contained in the Scripture. We do not set forth words of learned men or philosophers. We don't do that. We do not use logic taught and understood by natural man. No, we teach what the Scriptures proclaim. Because we're taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And we proclaim the gospel of salvation in Christ alone. Just as the Scriptures declare. Just as the Scriptures declare. Again, which were authored by the Holy Spirit of God who teaches us. And we who are sent by God to proclaim these spiritual truths, proclaim them to a spiritual people. To you who are born again by the same Spirit. All according to God's divine plan and purpose and power. Beloved, the best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture. The best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture. Therefore, we compare the New Testament with the Old. And their truth and harmony are seen in both the Old and the New Testament. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. Both the Old and the New Testament testify and proclaim who? Christ Jesus the Lord. Our Master said the law and the prophets, they testify of me. We know the New Testament testify of Christ and what He's done. I like what one commentator said. This is a hymn book. H-I-M. Speaks of Christ. It speaks of Christ. Acts chapter 10, look at verses 38 to 43. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day, and he showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Look at this in verse 43. To him, being Christ, give all the prophets witness. They testify of him, beloved. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Look at that. Again, to him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The scriptures testify of Christ. They testify of Christ. Now let's go back to our text in 2 Peter. Look at chapter 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophecies, the writings of the Old Testament prophets, and we include the writings of the New Testament as well, came not in old time by the will of men. This means that the Holy Scriptures did not come into being by man's will. I've heard so many people say, oh, that Bible, it's just written by a bunch of men. Holy men of God were moved by the very one who is the author of the Scriptures, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 21 again. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the saints of old received the Holy Scriptures bit by bit until all of what is called the Old Testament was compiled into one volume, and the saints throughout most of the gospel age have had a complete Bible. The inspired books of the Old Testament and the inspired books of the New Testament. Both testaments were inspired by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Not by the will of man, that scripture says there. Bit by bit, the eternal purpose and will of God, our majestic God, was played out, and now we have a complete Bible. Both Old and New Testament. So how thankful we who are the people of God should be today to our great God of all grace. We've not been left to wonder and speculate about spiritual things, about spiritual truths. Our God has given us the Holy Bible, the Holy Inspired Word of God. He's given that to us. And His Holy Spirit is in us to guide us into all truth. Again, concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. So what comfort we can find as we are guided into all truth. As we're guided into all truth by the very author of the Scriptures. By the very author of the Scriptures. And we know, who will the author of the Scriptures, who will the Holy Spirit point us to, beloved? The Scripture says He won't speak of Himself, will He? He'll point us to Christ. He'll point us right to Christ. Oh, what comfort we can find. Look at verse 21 again. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As we read this verse, one wonders, how can anyone deny that the Bible is the holy, inerrant, infallible Word of God? How can people deny that? Well, we know from the Scriptures that we read earlier that the natural man has no understanding of the Scriptures. No understanding of the Scriptures. Or the God of the Bible, who the Scriptures declare. Because we know this because the Scripture says that there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. None who understands the things of God or who God is. Scriptures declare there's none righteous, no, not one. And at our natural state before God, we are devoid of any spiritual knowledge of who God really is. That's our natural state. And then all that we've learned, all that we've been taught since the Lord saved us, we can't take credit for any of that either. We can't. We can take no credit for our spiritual growth or any knowledge that we have about the Scriptures. Because it's all given to us. It's all given to us by God. We're taught by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why, Paul, we don't boast in ourselves. We only boast in Christ. Isn't that amazing that the God of glory would reveal Himself to us? That He would teach us about Himself? Why? Because He's loved us with an everlasting love. He's loved His people with an everlasting love. It's absolutely incredible. Now, the Scriptures were written by different men with different backgrounds and different personalities and different levels of education under different circumstances over a period of thousands of years. And they've been compiled into one glorious volume of the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. And you know what? They perfectly harmonize with each other. Because they have one author, the Holy Spirit of God. There's no contradiction in the verses of Scripture. I've had people say that all the time. Oh, there's contradictions in the Bible. I always say, well, show me. They find out quick that there's no contradictions in the Scriptures. There's none. There's none. You know what the supposed contradictions in the Bible are? Man's wrong interpretation of God's Word. That's what the supposed contradictions in the Scripture are. You know why? Because natural man thinks that they're contradictions. But they do not understand the thoughts of God, beloved. They do not understand the thoughts of God. And that's what causes them to think that this wonderful book which testifies of Christ, that's what makes them think that there's contradictions in it. Because they have a wrong interpretation of the Scriptures. They have a wrong interpretation of who God is. And they have a wrong interpretation of who Christ is. They do not know. All the books of the Bible have the same author. God the Holy Spirit. God. And the Scriptures declare right here in this verse that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These men were holy only because... Now, that's the other thing, too. These men were holy only because the Spirit of God dwelt in them. Same for us, eh? They're born again. All God's people born again are just as holy in God's sight as all the writers of the Old and New Testament put together. Why? Because we're one in Christ, beloved. We're one in Christ. There's one glorious theme that's woven through the entire Word of God. All the Scriptures testify of Christ. Of Christ. The Old Testament said the Messiah is coming. New Testament says He's here. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who is the center of the Scriptures. It is Christ who's the center of this book. And this book, old and new, testifies of Him. Of Him. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for allowing us to be here. allowing us to gather together and look in Thy Word. And oh, we marvel. We marvel that we have the Holy Scriptures that we can read every day or whenever we choose, Lord. And knowing, we who are Your people, we who are born again by Thy Spirit, knowing that this book is authored to You by You, and knowing that the only reason we understand the words is because You've given us an understanding. We praise Your name. We praise Your name for pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank Thee, we who are Your people. We thank Thee for the Scriptures. We thank Thee for coming to this world and redeeming us by Thy precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen.